Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, home of the five-star technician. Check them out at cropmetcalf.com. We brought Danny Ruhier in. I didn't hear the segment, but EB heard something on your show.
I think it was Friday, right?
Which either irked him or he found interesting.
No, it didn't irk me at all. I just found it interesting. So I was driving around. I think it was Friday when you guys were talking about Haskins and week one starter. And, I mean, let's be honest, not a lot going on right now. But I thought the conversation was fascinating. And then I see on 106.7 The Fan, they've got an article about it where Jay was talking about if he's under consideration to start in week one or whatever. And I thought,
I believe that would be thefandc.com.
Right, okay, whatever it is. thefandc.com.
They need clicks, man. Click, click, click.
I listened to Danny kind of give his little spiel on how he thinks this is all playing out and how it will play out, and I happen to agree with him.
So I've said from Jump Street that when he was picked, he's going to start week one. Mm-hmm. And that's not in the hands of the coach. That's one of those, if you want to stay on the job, you got to do it. Like, if you got to do something at your work or you guys – if you want to keep doing this, you've got to come to this company meeting and hear about the company culture.
Oh, okay, fine. Meetings, it's gross.
Super annoying, but we'll keep, you know, cashing the checks to the morning show. To me, this is a contingency for him being there. You got to do this. You're signing on, you're coaching, this is going to happen. So I've always thought Haskins is going to start week one. The other conversation that we were having, though, is I think if Jay Gruden had his druthers, Haskins would be sitting next to him with that little earpiece in, going, hey, coach, why'd you call that play? Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you very much. You write down the clipboard for the whole season.
Yeah,
I don't think, and Grant disagreed with me, by the way, and had a great case on his own, but for me, a coach fighting for his gig, fighting to continue, fully embattled, what's his fault, what's not, it's a great debate with all the injuries and everything that's happened. But I see a guy that would rather ride or die with a veteran that he believes is an extension of himself. I think these coaches get to this spot, so many of them, because they think their way is the best, right? You're not running someone else's offense. You're running your scheme, your system, your thing. Right. And the guy that checks all the boxes in the film room, the guy that three-step drop, use your eyes over here, throw the ball before the receiver breaks open, I want you to be an extension of me. And I think he would see that with a veteran as opposed to a
kid. He loves Jags like Keenum and McCoy because he knows they're not going to deviate.
They're going to run safe.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Well, they know what they're doing. They're proven commodities to an extent, and he thinks they can run their offense. See, then I only caught half your argument then, because I thought you were suggesting what I heard was in my own head was Jay wants to start Keenum if he could, and I thought you were coming around that he will, that because Haskins has been so sort of unimpressive in camp so far
to this point,
that he's just giving him a kind of a look, and everybody can see, look, this kid's not really ready, look at the veteran over here,
right.
Ultimately I'm going to start my guy. I will placate Bruce and Dan, and I'll give him a lot of first-team reps and everything, maybe even in preseason.
Right.
I'll throw him out there, and you'll see how bad and unprepared this kid is.
Gruden's not stupid. He knows that long-term, Haskins has way more upside than either of the guys that he has underneath him in McCoy or Keenum. But if he wants to keep his job, if he wants any semblance of winning 9 or 10 games and saving his job, he knows Haskins is probably that 2 or 3 years down the line,
so
not this season.
Go back in history. One of the first things Jay was able to do or had to do to sell upwards to management, because that's what this is. You have to sell up to these guys because they're entrenched. They're not going anywhere despite all our desires that they do. He had to basically go, I don't care who it is. It just can't be this guy, Robert Griffin.
Right.
You guys pick.
Right.
Pick from one of these other guys that can actually run an NFL offense right now. It just can't be that guy. He has to sell up. He's going to be doing the same thing here where he's going, this Haskins' character, because Cakes is right. He knows how to evaluate talent. He gets that toolkit doesn't come around very often. A guy that can throw the ball in that way, a guy that's that smart, that's that sharp. There's everything that's worth working with. But it's also a guy that started, you know, just over a dozen games in his whole college career since he was in high school by Cakes' house.
See, I interpreted you saying, because I caught it halfway through the conversation then, that he was almost like setting him up to fail here. Like, I'm going to give this kid a ton of reps, and it's going to be obvious to most people that he really shouldn't start, and then I'm going to start my guy who I want to start all along.
I think that's the plan. I think that's what Gruden's going to try to do. Yeah. So this is tug of war, right? What's best for two games, for five games, for six games for the Washington Redskins this year, in a year that we all kind of feel they're not really going anywhere, right? Maybe some diehards do. But versus, let's balance the next 100 games. To me, what matters is whatever the best path for Dwayne Haskins is, let's do that. Now, Jay Gruden can't think that way because Jay Gruden would like to keep collecting paychecks for the Washington Redskins and keep his house and keep everything
else. Those are nice paychecks.
And you see some of the quotes. So here's a quote in thefandc.com. Who wrote it? Did Shorts write it? You see the wow plays, and you're like, Jesus, when he's on, there's nobody you'd rather have than Dwayne. Really, it's pretty. He stands tall. He has a cannon. He could quicken up his release. He's got great touch, strong, powerful arm, strong, powerful body. And then here's the butt. But sometimes when he's off, he's abnormally off. It's kind of weird. So, and I think that's the part that bugs him.
Absolutely. Do you want in on our bet? So we have each made predictions as to what's going to happen with Case Keenum. Cole McCoy's out of the equation.
Yeah, I'm not considering him.
You're welcome to put Colt in the equation if you want, but it comes down to the numbers that Case Keenum is going to compile and the numbers that Dwayne Haskins.
I think I went wildly high on my Haskins predictions, by the way.
Can you get the notebook out? Now, Eric has an interesting scenario. He had Haskins starting week one, benched right around week three or four.
Like bombing.
Which goes to Keenum.
Clear, he can't do it yet.
And then comes back to Haskins.
When Keenum kind of struggles
too. By interesting,
too.
You mean very realistic. Is that the scenario?
Maybe.
Gruden's love changing quarterbacks. I mean, go back to John. Go back to what Jay did his first year here. It was unacceptable. It was ridiculous. Instead of sticking with a guy, naming him his starter, it was as the downs go, right? And every time he could go back to Colt McCoy, he did. It took Colt McCoy not being able to turn his neck to the left for right. Jay Gruden to finally say, okay, you got to sit down.
My issue
okay, with, you have him at 24 touchdowns.
That's way too high.
16 picks.
I would just love to go
and
back
you have
and redo
him starting
that.
16 games.
Is it 2 year totals?
No, that's his rookie campaign. What was I thinking?
Oh, what do I have?
You have Case Keenum, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Then bench.
Haskins, 15 touchdowns, 18 picks.
Here's my problem with Keenum. Outside of his one weird year in Minnesota, he's, to steal your term, very Jaggerific. He's just a guy. Like, is that the Keenum that we're going to see here in Washington, the Minnesota version or the Denver version or the St. Louis / L.A. Rams version?
Well, Redskins fans, of which I am one, as you know, very hardcore. I love them so much. We do this thing where we take the best sample of somebody and decide, that's the one we're getting here, wherever
sure.
that works out.
Yeah.
You know Alex Smith, the deep ball thrower?
Right.
Is Tyreek Hill coming? Is that guy swinging by?
No.
Is Andy Reid's offense swinging by? No, it's yeah. Charlie Checkdown. You're going to pass up open opportunities to make sure that you know the running back and tight end gets touched.
Last time I checked, he's not throwing the ball to Diggs, Thielen, and Rudolph.
Precisely.
What do you think, Danny? I understand because you're a Redskins fan, and so am I. You want what's the long-term best interest for Haskins to have this 10-12-year run here mm-hmm. in D.C. What is that route if you were the coach, if you had your guess?
Coach Danny.
And there's a great debate.
But to be
Eric,
fair, you don't know what you're seeing.
Of course, so you don't know.
Right, you're just guessing.
There's a great debate between you toss him in the deep end and then rescue him and figure out if they can swim or not, or you don't get him killed. I mean, the David Carr, Joey Harrington, some of these guys are punchlines.
I'm a little
now.
More in that camp.
So given the sample, given the fact that this has not been a good organization, given the fact that we don't know who the left tackle is going to be, you hope it's Trent Williams, given the fact that I think their weapons are wholly inadequate, I'm not going to start him for a while. I probably would sit him for maybe 5, 6, 7, even 8 games. Once we know, hey, this is where the season's going to go, now you come in with less pressure. You're not here to be the savior. Every quarterback that's gotten drafted in the top 5, top 6, top 10, for the most part, has gone to a crappy organization. It's somehow miraculous that Ben Roethlisberger worked out. It's somehow miraculous that Joe Flacco won in Baltimore. Why? These are good organizations. It's somehow miraculous that whoever Cincinnati drafted, whoever Cleveland drafted, whoever Detroit drafted for so many years sucked. Who can possibly draw a correlation? Well, it's pretty easy. You're not run well. You don't set up a kid
the
with a
chance
to succeed.
The funny dynamic to me is that Snyder and Allen probably have Keenum and McCoy voodoo dolls that they're punching pins into every day so they can get Haskins out. But that's not what Gruden wants.
Right, so now
but it works everywhere.
Right. Let me get your prediction because, I'm about data. What is your actual prediction? Right now, on June 17th, I put the date
yep.
as to what Case Keenum is going to do this year and Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins, I'm going to say 2,100 yards, 14 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
14, pretty 13,
good.
How
Modest.
Many starts?
I think he ends up starting 10 games.
Ooh. So give me your case then.
Keenum starts four games.
Oh, two cold starts.
Throwing in a cold. That's happening.
Because that's great. Okay. Quarterback carousels are always
four starts. Great. Jay cannot quit. Colt okay. McCoy. I'll say 960 yards, four touchdowns, three interceptions.
And what's Colt doing his two starts?
Plays one quarter and hurts himself.
Okay.
Good. Each game.
I know the math doesn't totally add up, but that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going.
It is going to be interesting.
You know what? Everyone's sleeping on the Trent story. Like, we did it for a day, but we're still, there's no resolution to it.
Chad has said this, and I've said it. We have taken out our drums and are beating them. The biggest story is not who the quarterback's going to be. The biggest story is not Bruce Allen. It is this injury thing. And people don't want to admit that it has hair, and it does.
Specific to Trent, or it's just
to the
all
Washington
around?
Redskins. Yeah. There, we just kind of go, well, let's write down their lineup on paper. And now we look at paper. Now we figure out, well, they got a chance this way. The amount of devastating injuries they've had, plus the amount of, well, this guy had a sprained ankle. Shouldn't he be back in a couple weeks? And he's gone for the entire season, Trey Quinn. This guy's got a strained calf. Why isn't he playing, Jamison Crowder? The injuries to the Washington Redskins players and how prevalent they are is the story, whether it's a combination of poor medical advice, whether it's they're drafting injury-prone guys, whether it's an organizational philosophy, whatever it is, this is the story. And until it's fixed, it's going to be the biggest deal.
Do you think that Trent will be there week one? If you had to guess?
I ultimately do, but I think people are discounting
how serious
it is. Because
he's not going to pass up the money. I think he's genuinely pissed.
I'm sure he's pissed.
But he's not going to pass up the money.
The thing I don't buy are people that are going, it's a play to get more money. That he's really not mad. I think he's furious. I think he's livid. I think this was a life scare. I think this was something so massive where, imagine you telling people, hey, there's something wrong, and they're going, no, there's not. No,
did
there's
he just
not.
Have cosmetic surgery?
Yeah.
Like it was so bad?
So this might be his second or third. I'm not sure the number of procedures, but the serious one to remove the growth in his head already happened, and we knew that.
Yeah.
I think he's furious.
Danny, we should also explore at some point, this is just a word on the street, that Grant feels comfortable to just come in and do the show that you don't, supposedly.
This is a deeper thing.
Is Danny comfortable with anything, though? Danny's kind of uncomfortable
with
most
things. That's probably a very good point.
It's a good zing, and it's an accurate
zing. Not a zing.
Here's what it is. If I'm invited, I'm more than happy to come in and banter with my pals. It's an honor. The thing that I can't do that Grant has in his DNA, and I wish I did, is interesting topic on the Junks. They're kicking it around. They're talking sports, right? It's not whatever's at the box office or
weird. They're actually talking sports.
Somebody's rare, dog, right?
Once in a while.
And Grant goes, I should chime in.
Right.
And he can call and add to the conversation.
Yeah, but he usually chimes in to correct us because he hears something that we've allowed to slip or.
Not that long ago, JP basically said, the pitching coach just decides what pitch the pitcher is going to throw, and that's it. And I was furious in my car. I had so much information.
Shaking
I could
your
have
fist.
Held the conversation. And I was like, I'm going to call. I'm going to call and inform everybody and help. And I was like, how self-centered is that?
No,
because I know deep down, you don't care. You don't care.
No.
He doesn't care
Baseball
because no one's talking
not
about
care.
Golf. JP's just taking a charge, letting the show go on. They don't want to hear from me.
No,
that's
you should
the
call
obstacle
in.
I have to get over.
You should call in. Today I was talking about how I was opining and how I won an 18-hole playoff. They changed the rule 2 years ago. There's no 18-hole playoff.
You think I'm going to correct you on that? You think I know or care?
Well, it's definitely not golf Danny.
No, I'm not doing that.
He's a big fan.
I'm not calling for that.
Danny will never call in or barge in on a golf conversation.
Right.
That is for sure.
I did it once, though, when you had a week, and it was one of my favorite weeks ever, where you decided that everybody that's on one of these murder documentary shows was guilty, but you were like willing to give a pass to Amy Schumer for stealing jokes. And I was really annoyed about that.
Did I gave Amy Schumer a pass?
Yeah, you were like, well, I could see. And I was like, she stole jokes. And like, it's pretty clear.
So
and
she's right. Do you think she's an unoriginal hack?
No. I think she's really funny and talented and got too big too quickly.
And got lazy.
Material. And rip people off.
Mm.
But she's a talent. There's no doubt about it. But she also ripped people off.
Towson. Right. Towson Pride.
Towson Pride.
By the way, that pitching coach takes terrible.
I don't know when it was.
It was not my favorite. Because it was right after Joe Gulikwas got canned. And you're like, I don't know. What do they do? And I was like, they do so much. They're responsible for every time the ball leaves the hand of a pitcher. They know.
I'm probably more in JP's camp.
I was so mad.
I would say that the pitcher is the most responsible.
Yeah, and then 1A is the pitching coach. Every warm-up, every bullpen they throw, every drill they do from February through whenever, that guy's overseeing and responsible for. Lilliquist didn't want to do that, and that's why he got canned.
All right, it hasn't really, you know what? It has gotten a little bit better, right?
Well, Yeah.
The 4 or 5 guys.
I know somebody nitpicked last week and said that the whole progression and regression to the mean
thing.
I'll just say
there's correlation.
They're getting back to average.
Could be.
The bullpen's not the worst that's been ever assigned. It's now just regular
pace.
Bad. If they're regular bad,
garden variety bad.
Yeah.
Do you think they have a shot to get in this? This is a big week.
This is a big week. Obviously, yeah. 7 against Philly and the Braves.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. It's better for everybody.
Otherwise, it's like grilled cheese bits, like whatever you got. But this might be the week. We'll do our songs.
I sent a text to EB last night, and I said, we should negotiate in our next contract, which hopefully we live out the life of this contract.
Sure. Yeah.
But in a few years, to just take a month off together.
We'll start July right now.
Like, let's just say right after the NBA draft until training camp.
Perfect. Didn't Kornheiser do that in September? We just do that.
Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll inform you.
I'll send you guys a daily text.
I meant today.
The Wiz
is going on in this world.
We're looking forward to the Wiz draft.
Okay,
picking at number 9.
I get in the car, heated debate about the Wizards draft. I was so steamed up. I was so excited about
Are you
that.
Excited about the pick? I'm not excited.
Not at all. They can't win for 4 years.
Exactly.
I'm with JP. Throw a dart at the wall.
Yeah.
Go great unknown.
I
go
want
a guy
somebody
with one YouTube video.
Who turned pro at 14. Just roll the dice with one of those guys.
They can't win for 4 years. So take the high upside freak show.
Right.
Danny, thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
Always storm in.
Okay.
Right, we're the Junkies. Come right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Remember, if you're traveling, you're out and about, you want to download the radio.com app, download it to your phone. Just takes you a minute or two. That way you take the Junks with you. Take Grant and Danny with you. You take Chad Dukes versus the world with you. Anywhere you go in the good old United States, anywhere you're traveling, bring 106.7 The Fan with you with the radio.com app.
You know, drop through in this story today, which, you know, we've talked about from time to time over the years, but I guess it's becoming, I don't know if crisis might be overstating it, but it's becoming an issue here locally where there's a referee shortage.
Right.
And people are blaming it on the lack of sportsmanship from adults now in youth sports. I know this. I refereed one game ever. And it was because I happened to be at a venue and the referee didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have even been like when I was assistant coaching basketball years and years ago. I made no calls.
Right.
I swallowed the whistle. I was afraid to make calls. And I get that. Like, it's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And you don't get paid anything. I have taken some parents to task when I've coached. I've coached a lot of soccer over the years. Coached Kelsey's soccer team for many years. And I've coached flag football now for 3 or 4 years. And I've taken some parents to task because, I mean, the referees, particularly at a youth level that's not like a travel team.
Right.
They're not getting paid anything.
Right, sure.
Like, a lot of times it's a pimply-faced kid that's 17. Like, how are you yelling at that kid? But it happens all the time.
The overwhelming majority of parents that I've encountered when I'm watching my kids play high school sports, the overwhelming majority are well-behaved. They're not going to boo at a ref. They're not going to yell obscenities at a ref. But there is a small minority that will, that don't have a problem doing it, that will become unruly at the slightest provocation. And here's what I really don't understand. This does not have to do with the refs. And I've seen this growing from just watching like lacrosse games, field hockey games. Parents trying to like coach their kids from the sideline. From the sideline or from the stands. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you want these kids to be focused and on task and listening to their coach. They've got enough swirling around in their heads. They don't need you coaching from the baseline, or they don't need you calling out, you know, whatever you think your son or daughter needs to do from up in the stands. You're not helping. You're only hindering your kid by doing that.
Oftentimes it can hurt. So apparently the number of officials has dropped by nearly 20% over the last decade, from a peak of about 12,000 refs, this is across the country, to about 10,000 refs. And we're seeing it here locally. But what you say really irks me, because there's one play in my mind that just comes to mind. So I've coached 5-on-5 flag football.
Right.
And generally speaking, I run a defensive zone. So I've got a corner on one side, a corner on the other side. And so we faced a trips formation, three receivers on one side, where I have one corner over there. And a father yells at his son and says, "You got to get to the other side. Look where all the receivers are."
Right.
The kid, not following the coach's plan of zone, stay on your side regardless of formation,
right,
runs over to the other side. They then run a reverse to the open side of the field and take it to the house.
Of course. Of course.
Still bothers me like 2 years later. But that's what happens. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, I do think for kids, like our kids who participate in sports, you could probably make some good money. Pete could talk about this. You know, obviously on the higher levels, you have to – I'm sure there are different levels. You got to graduate and become a good referee. But like on the entry level, like my kid plays I-9 sports. I-9 sports is very kind of low key, no practices during the week. You show up for football, you have a practice before the game for an hour, you play. They're not getting these high paid referees. Some of them are, I don't know what tests they take.
Right.
But I mean, these are not like high school football referees. You know what I mean? I know to be a high school football referee, you need to pass certain tests and get licensed.
Look, and I can understand why there's a shortage of referees, because it's not worth whatever abuse you're going to take by taking on that responsibility. I'm sure Pete's seen it a thousand times, because he umpires softball and baseball games. He's heavily involved in the referee game. I wouldn't want to take that sort of abuse from parents.
It's the worst.
Know what they're talking about from the sideline.
It's the worst. I don't even know.
It's awful.
I don't even know if Pete can do it. I'm like, JP, I've done it once years ago for, like, you know, youth basketball. It was brutal.
Right.
Like a game that's meaningless. They're yelling at you.
The biggest part of all of this is, more often than not, when someone is yelling at you, they don't know what they're yelling about.
Right.
And unfortunately, as an official, the game is going on. You don't have a forum to really stop the game and say, "Look, you're embarrassing yourself." Like, you get the one, you know, parent that sits up in the stands in basketball. 3 seconds! 3 seconds! That's 3 seconds! I mean, meanwhile, shots are bounding off the rim, left and right. 3 seconds! He's not moving! I mean, every time the shot hits the rim, the three-second count resets in that situation.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's what has unfortunately happened now. We're seeing this. Obviously, I do a lot of work in Anne Arundel County with the youth Parks and Recreation program. We are seeing astounding numbers of not only coaches, and now we're seeing parents getting cleared out of gymnasiums, because not only, look, we know people, 50-50 call, people are going to argue, you know, one team's going to love the call, the other team's not. But what has happened now is parents are taking this to a personal level where they're using profanity. They want to come on the court and challenge the official. And this is where it just gets to a stupefying level, especially, you know, when you see it with the younger kids, like the 10 and unders and even 8 and unders, where we see parents and coaches lose their mind. And that's the discouraging part, because the players see it, and then, of course, the players want to argue, especially as you get into the older ranks. The players want to argue. My man Ron Ludwig and I do a lot of softball, these great U-Trip tournaments during the summer, and these parents are paying. I mean, these teams pay almost $600 to get into these tournaments. Eric sees it on the lacrosse circuit with all the stuff Stevens played in, and you just see people act like complete fools on the sidelines during the course of these games. And
it's just a particular call. Look, again, I'm talking about maybe lower level, but you get the yelling on the lower level. I'm like, what difference does it make? Like, I remember the last game that I coached a couple weeks ago, the referee completely botched a first down, gave the team a first down, and then we looked at it, and it was about 3 yards behind the first down, and it was a fourth down, and it gave him a fresh set of downs across midfield. And I pointed out to him, and he's like, "Oh, my bad." And I was like, "Don't worry about it. Just move on."
Right, but see, we have youth football coaches around this state that I've seen that will press that issue to the point, especially like with the 70 or 80-pound football players. It's just as bad as it is with the older football players. coaches will lose their mind on the sideline, and we've talked about all the time. In youth football, at the younger levels especially, there's two guys out there. There's two guys out there. If you don't want them to call holding, you know, you want them to call holding when it benefits your team, but you don't want them to enforce the rules, because if they enforce the rules in a 70-pound football game the way they're supposed to, you'd never score, because every play would get called back for a kid committing an egregious violation if you really want to get down to it. But, you know, look, people make mistakes. And I say it all the time. A referee can't go to a coach and say, "Coach, you just called a terrible play that caused your team to turn the ball over."
Pete, though, you're our age. Do you find it to be less people becoming refs? Because I would actually think, again, lower levels, that kids can make good money doing it. If you're a 16-year-old soccer player, let's say you're a top-notch soccer player, why not referee on the side when you start college?
Absolutely, like, especially you get some leagues that will pay you cash on the field. Now, we don't get that in terms of doing high school basketball or high school and college softball. We don't get paid cash on the field, but you can. But what happens is,
have you tossed a parent?
No, I've never tossed a parent.
Never run anybody?
Have you tossed a coach?
Nope.
Pete's just a chiller.
Level-headed Pete.
I've been a coach. I've got kids that have played high-level college basketball. I mean, I understand things are going to get competitive out there.
And a 50-50
call, 50-50 call, one coach is going to go, "Man, that's a great call." And the other coach is going to go, "Ooh," you know. But, I mean, I'm just, knock on wood, you know, I just haven't been in many situations like that. The only kid I ever threw out of a game was, he got two technicals for doing the same thing in the same game, and that was reaching over the line and knocking the ball out of a person's hands trying to throw the ball in bounds, and 500 people all saw it, and you have to call it. So, you know, but that's basically it. But, I mean, I see.
But have things actually gotten worse? Because we do these stories from time to time.
Sure.
It's hard
There's
for
no
me.
Question they have. There's no question they have, JP. And I'm talking about the lower level. You got a 16-year-old kid out there that is doing a soccer game on a weekend, and you know, call the Mighty Mites. They're like, you know, 8 or 9 year old soccer players, and you got a guy on the sideline that thinks he's Ben Olsen. You know, that's a bad tackle. That's a bad tackle. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, it's a 16-year-old kid out there making $25 maybe to officiate a soccer game. You know, they're learning just like the 9 year old kids are, and it's not every coach, because we have a lot of great coaches out there. But, you know, we've all done it. We got a lot of great coaches that go out there, volunteer their time, do a superb job, and help these young people develop. But, you know, there's that 5 to 6% out there that just is a pain in the rear end. And as evidenced by the fact that Ron and I both did 8 and 9 games respectively last weekend, that tells you there's a shortage of numbers out there when you have to officiate that many games during the course of a weekend.
Cakes, I think it was unjustified. It's been years since I've heard the story.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the story of when you were run from a youth game?
When I was run from
Weren't
a youth game?
Were you kicked out of a game at one point?
I was not.
I remember like some story.
I have been.
No, I was falsely accused.
Yes, I know it was a false accusation.
I got a call from my son. This was when Kurt was younger. He had to have been like 12 or 13 years old. I got a call from his basketball coach asking me if I had basically been yelling something derogatory towards one of the other team's kids during a game. And I said, I wouldn't even yell anything derogatory at my kid, let alone an opponent's kid. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where this is coming from. And I basically had to clear my name.
What was the kid being called?
I don't even remember.
He was called like a loser.
Something along those lines. Right. Like I was calling the kid a jerk or something. You know,
right.
And I was like, that would never happen. I mean, I would never even do that to my own kid, let alone a stranger that I've never met on an opposing team.
I knew it was a false accusation of something.
Maybe somebody said it, but it wasn't me. And I had to basically explain my way out of it for something I hadn't even done. I mean, that's just the.
But still, somebody was doing that to a 12-year-old.
Sure. And like at the lowest level, like intramural hoops game that you're ever going to find. I mean, it's just the state of sports at this
point. It doesn't matter the level. Parents lose their minds.
Yeah, they lose their minds.
But it should matter the level.
It doesn't, though.
Like, it should.
People don't, they lose all rational thought.
That's the thing, like, I know that it happens. That's my point. When I'm coaching 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds in flag football, nobody should lose their ass. Right. Their kid's not going to the league.
I love watching my kids play sports. It's fun.
Yes.
It's a great thing to do. But I've got 3 more years left of it at this point. I'm not going to miss the small subsegment of idiots that are at some of the
but
games.
But you're going to miss going to the games.
Oh, I'm going to miss going to the games, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But
it's not the crazy folks.
I won't miss the jackassery that happens at some of the games.
But it's not that you think your kid's going to the league. It's just that you're just competitive and you just want your kid to win. That's all. They don't think their kids are pros or future pros. They just want them. They get caught up in the emotion of it, and they want their kid to win. It's stupid, but that's what it is.
It's stupid. If the referee blew in soccer an offsides call, and it ended up being the game-winning goal, what's the difference in the grand scheme of life?
Well, the grand scheme of life,
shouldn't
of course,
lose your ass.
Of course, nothing. But they don't have that perspective. They're caught in the moment. That's all. All right, stop worrying about those pesky plumbing problems and call the five-star plumbing experts at Crop Metcalf. From water heaters and garbage disposals to sump pumps and main water lines, Crop Metcalf's five-star technicians can handle all of your plumbing needs. Call and save $50 on your next plumbing service. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician, now proudly serving Fauquier County, Culpeper County, and the surrounding Piedmont area.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up right around the end of the show, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Nats take on Atlanta. So keep listening for your chance to win, because it's coming up very soon.
Just remember that we have to give them away.
I will remember. Look, mine is like a steel trap right here. Kind of. On some things.
Yes.
Certain things.
Here's a question for Mr. Steel Trap.
All right, I'll try to remember.
What is the name
on the spot
of the prince who looks like CK?
Hold on, wait a second. It's not Harry, so it's clearly Prince William.
Yeah.
Prince William is the doppelganger for one Chris Kynard, program director here at The Fan.
Yeah, so yesterday was Father's Day, and a lot of people go to social media to put up Father's Day posts.
Yes.
Do you think he deserves criticism from those on social media, because he posted a picture with one of his sons, and he did not post a picture with his other children, Princess Charlotte or Prince George.
Okay.
Apparently, his picture is with Prince Louis.
Who is this? This is Prince. Wait a second. It's one of the two princes, Prince William.
Prince William is getting criticism because this was his post on social media.
All right.
And so it's just one of his kids.
Father's Day was just one of his kids?
Not the other two.
That's kind of a bad look.
And then he also didn't post like a happy Father's Day to his father, who is Prince Charles.
Prince Charles,
correct. So what does this mean?
I don't know that it means anything.
People are just looking into it too much?
There's a bunch of trolls out there. It's ridiculous. He has a nice picture. He posted it. Happy Father's Day. He's having a good moment there.
The biggest takeaway
here. From the picture. And the stupid trolls say, you're whoring your other two kids. Now, you kind of buy into that.
To me, the biggest takeaway is this.
Would you post a picture with one of your kids for Father's Day?
No, you'd do it with all, of course.
I hate the whole thing that you have to post
here and
there.
You don't have to do anything.
You can if you want.
If you
did one.
If you
want to, just let yourself post whatever the hell you want. Okay. He likes that picture.
Do you not think the other two kids might be a little offended?
They're 2 or 3 years old.
We as Americans should not care this much about the royal family.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
We just
shouldn't.
I don't. I could care less about them.
What do we
it's
have
impossible
to do
to care less.
With the stupid royals? What
but
do we have in common with them?
I will say this. When you throw me a picture of him, I always get fascinated by this guy's weird life. Do you think he's ever gone to the kitchen and opened a refrigerator and gotten his own food?
Yes.
Yes.
At some point in his
life,
yes. You
don't think he just has servants to give him everything?
No. I think he has some of that.
I'm being serious.
I think he has some of that.
Do you even think he recognizes his own kids? Because doesn't he have nannies that raise them?
Of course he recognizes his own kids.
Do you think he's ever changed a diaper?
He's actually going up to that kid.
Has he ever
might be pushing it.
Has he ever changed a diaper?
Like, I don't think Trump's ever changed a diaper.
I'm going to say that he has changed a diaper at some point.
I'm going to say he hasn't.
I mean, do you think he's ever just picked up a phone and ordered Domino's?
That he probably hasn't done.
Or wings. He wanted to cluck you one night. Right. You think he's ever just said, you know what? We're going to order some wings and watch the game.
Prince William, can we get some cluck you to Buckingham Palace?
I'm just wondering, like, does he have a normal life? There's nothing normal about his life.
Am I still around? There's just no way.
I don't believe it's
definitely around.
Is it really?
I think there's a different name for it. At least the one in College Park.
All right, Eric. I'm looking at the daily life of Prince William and Kate.
Yeah.
This is one of the things it says is that Kate loves to cook breakfast every morning.
Kate Middleton.
Now, this is what I just don't
believe. Do you think he walks by his Kate and he pinches her on the butt as she's making like sausage?
Absolutely.
Make them over easy, babe. All right, slaps her on the ass.
Listen to this. It says, while Kate is out, Prince William likes to partake in his own hobbies. While the future king loves to play soccer, one of his favorite pastimes is listening to the radio.
Oh, really?
He's a radio mile.
The Duke of Cambridge allegedly even sends radio in his own insider song requests under a fake name.
Radio insider.
Hey, we just got...
I'm telling you, I got to get some Spotify already.
This is Bill from Cambridge. I'd like to put in a request.
We did, if we want to toot our own horn, get the updated
am I going to win podcast. Those Stats Prize tickets?
Podcast and streaming numbers. And EB, you saw once again, number one show in the company.
Very cool.
Those jokes are killing it, podcast numbers wise.
I don't want to embarrass the other shows that we're ahead of, except for Cataldi, who's like 15th in the company.
15th. Those stupid dumbbells, morons.
I mean, there are massive, famous, like world famous people that we're beating. By the way, we're just these local idiots. And then Cataldi was goofing on us, and he's 15th in the company.
Speaking of Cataldi, this is a tangent. Did Tommy DeLay, who's two studios away, did he win his bid for the Angelo Cataldi like a bust or like a sculpted head?
I didn't even know he was
doing
that.
He was bidding for it on eBay. Apparently he didn't win it.
So let's bring on from the Fan in Washington.
Ian. I can't believe is that
and we crossed on, him. Wait, like, wait he a had 172,000. We're like at 750.
Can you play that again? I need to hear that again. Just for
so let's bring on from the Fan in Washington.
Is that how he does? He always say Washington, Washington.
I don't know. I would have
to
listen to him.
Do most people from Philly say Washington? I can't believe that they do.
I think
that's his bit. Most people in Philly sound like him.
So a couple other things here. Kind of social media, Father's Day related. I hadn't heard of her in a while. Caitlyn Jenner in the news. Mm. Apparently because of a tweet or
Shouldn't
Instagram
post.
Should
she be dying soon? I mean, she's old, right? I mean, how old
is Valdez was talking about you.
Caitlyn Jenner.
She's not, I don't think she's that old. She's like in her 60s, right?
She's got to be in her 70s.
I think she's in
maybe
her 60s.
Maybe around 70.
I'd say around 70. I mean, it's about time to go.
Caitlyn Jenner did a Father's Day.
I mean, she's still kind of a guy. I mean, like, she's not going to live longer just because she changed.
Did a Father's Day tribute to his father, to all the dads in his life, including Brandon Jenner,
right.
Kanye West, Rob Kardashian, Scott Disick.
All the great dads.
Travis Scott, all the great dads.
But he left the worst collection of dads in history.
Tristan Thompson.
Oh, he did. Oh, that's making waves.
Social media news.
Gotcha.
EB, remember Jim Edmonds?
I do.
So Jim Edmonds was a great outfielder for the California Angels back in the day. Maybe he played with the Anaheim Angels.
Did he play the Cardinals
as well? He was part of one of the Real Housewives shows. His wife, I think his third wife, was featured on the Real Housewives of Orange County. Well, apparently, they are on the road to repairing their marriage after he admitted to texting nude selfies to another woman.
That hurts.
He said it was a weak moment.
He said it was a weak moment.
He had a moment of weakness.
He says he denies a physical relationship, but he does fess up to the text message telling TMZ it was just a weak moment.
If he didn't encounter this person in person, then it wouldn't have gotten physical. He's sending her nudes. Of course he's going to get together with her.
He got size.
Old Jimmy Edmonds.
He got size.
The problem is, I'm telling you, women don't want to see your dumb wiener.
No, they don't.
They just don't.
Just Valdez. He's the only person that wants to see it.
99.9999% of the time. There might be 1/100th of a percentage of a moment where they might. For the most part, they're not interested.
No.
At all.
Nope.
It's repulsive.
You know what they are interested in, though? Free tickets. Pair of tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on Atlanta this Friday night. Be one of the first 25,000 fans in the Nats Park for the game. You get a Max Scherzer bobblehead courtesy of the Washington Nationals. Details at thefandc.com/contest. 10th caller at 800-636-1067 wins the tickets.
Believe last week, Cake said they needed to go 7-4 on the homestand. So that means next seven games against the Phillies and Braves, 5-2 required.
Ooh, can they do it? Can they make it happen?
I lowered the bar. I said 6-5. 6-5 would be fine for me.
You know what I don't have
I'm trying to just keep him still alive.
Here's what I don't have a tingle about tonight. Patrick Corbin start. No tingle whatsoever.
All right,
I don't
think it's out here. I'm going due theory, Cakes. He's due to pitch
for
well.
Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.